Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The critically acclaimed new biography, Until I Smiled at You, reveals for the first time the life of one of the most enduring musical talents in the 20th century, a young Canadian girl named Ralph Lowe, who wrote a song dynamited Frank Sinatra's career into the stratosphere in 1940, I'll Never Smile Again. July 27, 1940, her song became number one on Billboard's first national list of best-selling records and stayed at the top for 12 weeks. Recorded by more than 150 performers around the world, and it's still being recorded today. Ralph has been called one of the architects of the American ballad. She's the recipient of a Grammy Award. Her songs have been inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. She's about to be added to the Great American Songbook Foundation Hall of Fame as well. Now, amazingly, no one has been privy to Ruth Lowe's life story until now. Peter Jennings, the book's author, was personally selected by her family to write Until I Smiled at You. Peter, also an in-demand public speaker, talented singer of the Great American Songbook Standards, broadcaster and television host, known for his ability to get his guests to open up and share never-before-heard facts. He's written six other books, including Shark Assault, Why Happiness Matters, and For Want of 40 Pounds, books we've discussed on This Week in America. Peter Jennings, back on the program, author of Until I Smiled at You. Peter, it is always a pleasure. Welcome back to the program.
Rick, it is always a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me on, and how's everything?
Everything is going well, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. I love this story. This is an amazing story, a lady that I'm surprised we haven't heard more about, but we get a glimpse of her career in Until I Smiled at You. Let's go back and talk specifically about this song that really catapulted her career as well as Frank Sinatra's. And you mentioned the book, she was born from real heartbreak. Talk about that and how that led into writing the song, I'll Never Smile Again.
Yeah, Ruth's story is one of real resilience, right? Because yes. Her father died when she was very young. And she was basically the sole breadwinner for her mother and her younger sister. And then what happened was she got picked up by the Ina Ray Hutton band known as, wait for it, the Melodeers, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
And Melodeers was an all-female band who toured around North America. And Ina Ray Hutton, in fact, if you remember the movie, Billy Wilder's great movie, Some Like It Hot, well, the Melodeers were the model for that band.
Ah,
that
interesting.
Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon had to disguise themselves as ladies.
Yes.
So that's where that came from. Anyway, Ruth joined that orchestra, and after a couple of years in Chicago, she met a very handsome song plugger by the name of Harold Cohen. They got married, and Ruth was a young bride looking forward to a wonderful life. And in their first year of marriage, her husband went into the hospital for what was to be a routine operation, but he died of kidney failure. And Ruth was devastated. It was almost the end of her own life. She packed up, moved back to Toronto, where she was from, moved in with her sister and her mother. And her sister, Muriel, or Mickey to friends, Mickey sadly passed away earlier this year in her 100th year.
Amazing.
But Mickey told me about the night that Ruth wrote this famous song. And basically, that afternoon, I mean, she was just torn apart with grief. She turned to Mickey and just said, Mickey, I don't think I'll ever smile again. And that night, she sat down at the piano and outpoured the song, outpoured the lyrics. And it became famous from there. As you said, it became the song that launched Frank Sinatra's career with the Pied Pipers and Tommy Dorsey's orchestra, and just put Ruth on the map. So, yes, it was born from a great lack of resilience, but it was her courage and resilience that pushed her through.
And you can feel that as you so eloquently write in the book, Until I Smiled at You, how one girl's Heartbreak electrified Frank Sinatra's fame. She's looking out at the people in Toronto, the young couples arm in arm walking, and it just it solidified that grief, and she took it out at the piano and wrote this beautiful song that, as I say, endures today. It recorded, what, over 150 times. At the beginning of the book, you've got a very famous contemporary musician that's recording the song. Talk about that. That's a great way to start.
Well, yeah, that kind of blew me away. David Clayton Thomas, who, of course, is or was the lead singer of Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yes.
We go into the studio with David as he is recording his own version of I'll Never Smile Again. And that really blew me away. It was a wonderful session. They basically recreated the whole Tommy Dorsey oeuvre, if you will. And but as you say, Rick, yeah, it's still being recorded today. It's been recorded by every big singer, Billie Holiday. Everyone has had their time with the song. It's a great song.
In the introduction for the book, the foreword, which is written by Nancy Sinatra, she says, "The reason why I'll Never Smile Again has endured. It was a perfect song interpreted by the perfect singer at the perfect time." Talk about that, because we think of that era, a lot of happy songs that are out there. And now you've got this song that's really touches a lot of people. We've all gone through anguish in our lives. And here's a song basically we all can relate to. Talk about that and how this was different. And that might have been one of the main reasons of its success.
Well, Rick, that's a very good point. And you know what? It did get me thinking, because I went back and I looked in 1940. What are the other songs that essentially this song competed with? I'll Never Smile Again rose above the pack. And, you know, there were all songs that the bands played to get people on the dance floor, Pennsylvania 65,000, Frenzy, and all that kind of stuff. And then, as you said, Rick, along comes this almost dirge-like song. Why did it manage to leap over the top of all the others? Well, I wasn't sure I could answer that question, so I went to a bunch of fairly renowned musical celebrities to get their take. I talked with Bernie Taupin, who's written lyrics for Sir Elton John for 50 years. I talked with Sir Tim Rice, who has written lyrics for Andrew Lloyd Webber. Alan Bergman, who's did write songs for Sinatra and Barbara Streisand. And then talked to people like James Kaplan, who, of course, wrote that fabulous two-volume Sinatra biography. Will Friedwald, others. I talked to a lot of people and basically said, how is it that this dirge-like song leapt ahead of all the other happy-go-lucky tunes? And all of them revered Ruth Lowe's talents. Basically said, Peter, when you've got a great piece of music and great lyrics, it doesn't matter. Stand back, because talent will always show through. So between that and the fact that, yeah, we were at the dawn of war back in 1940, and people were worried that perhaps, you know, their loved ones were not going to be coming back from war. So the song spoke to that too, and that's what Nancy was saying, the perfect time for a song like that.
And it still resonates today. The book we're talking about is Until I Smiled at You by Peter Jennings, the contributions by Tom Sandler, who is Ruth's son, and we'll talk about him and the association that he had with Peter before writing the book and then in writing the book. You'll find the book at Peter's website, for example, peterjennings.me, information on all of his other books there as well. And you can buy the book at all of the usual places. Talk about this relationship with Frankie, as she called him. She helped propel his career. I had no idea probably at the time he was going to take off like he did, but she ended up writing other songs for him, including his theme song, and an interesting story you have in the book on how she went about writing the theme song.
Well, you know what, Rick? I managed to make contact with Lindy Kahn in Houston, Texas. She is the daughter of songwriter Paul Mann. And Paul Mann, along with his songwriting buddy, Stefan Weiss, they wrote the music for what became Frank Sinatra's theme song, and Ruth wrote the lyrics. And it was kind of a funny story. I won't take you all the way through it, because we do recount it in the book. But essentially, one day, Frank phoned up and said, hey, doll, I need you to write me a song. And Ruth said, a song, Frank, what are you looking for? And he said, well, CBS is getting me my own radio show. And you can practically see his chest expanding with pride, you know. And he said, yeah, I'm going to have my own radio show. And I need a song that can go at the beginning or end that's going to be my theme song. And Ruth said, well, okay, Frank, I'm sure I can help you. What's the mood? And he goes, the mood? I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. Well, let's see. Okay, well, how about, you know, at the end of the evening, you usually say to your family or friends, sweet dreams. So maybe it's something about dreams and we'll use it to end the show. What do you think, Ruth? And she said, well, okay, Frank, leave that with me. Let me play around with a few ideas and I'll call you back in a few days. And he goes, well, Ruthie, that's a problem. A problem, Frankie? Yeah, I need the song tomorrow. She goes, what? Tomorrow? No, you're kidding. He said, yeah, first show's tomorrow night and CBS just told me I need a song. So he says, anyway, you can do this. You told me you wrote I'll Never Smile Again overnight. And she says, yeah, but I mean, that was different. And he says, anyway, I got to go. There's so many things to worry about. Call me tomorrow, Ruthie. Bye. And Frankie and Ruthie go off like that. Well, she called Paul Mann and said, do you guys have a piece of music you've been playing with? And basically, the three of them pulled an all-nighter. The next day, she called Frank Sinatra and said, okay, Frank, listen to this. She puts the phone down. She plays the piano. She sings the song. And there's no reaction. And she's going, oh, my God, he hates it. And she goes, Frankie? And he goes, I love it. Play at the end. And that became his theme song, Put Your Dreams Away, which, incidentally, was the last song played at his funeral.
The book is such a fascinating read. Until I Smile at You, the book's available wherever books are sold. Peter Jennings, the author, back with us on This Week in America. And it's amazing. She was treated as a celebrity after this. And this was not a one-hit wonder. You mentioned the theme song, but many, many more. She wrote a lot of song, a lot of selections that were published, didn't she? I mean, she had a career. In a second, I want to get into nightclubs and the other things that really makes her a fascinating character.
Well, Tommy Dorsey was a smart man. I mean, they called the Dorsey band the General Motors of the dance band business. And that's because TD was a smart guy. So he recognized he had the cap of the tail here. He flew Ruth down to New York, and she essentially lived in New York for the next 3 years. And yes, she would go to the Brill Building and meet with other songwriters, Sammy Kahn and people like that. And she wrote almost 50 songs that were used for Broadway productions or Hollywood productions. And in fact, at about 1945, when she remarried, MGM wanted to make a movie about her life. And they were talking about Judy Garland starring as Ruth Lowe. But her new husband, Nat Sandler, is a pretty serious guy. He kind of poo-pooed the idea because he wanted her to kind of put that in the past and move on with her life. So she indeed became very famous. She had a newspaper column in New York. She met everybody who was anybody, Bob Hope, Milton Berle, Red Skelton. In fact, on our website, UntilISmileAtYou.com, if you go on the website and go through to Treasures, there are a ton of photographs and other things about Ruth meeting people like Bob Hope, etc. She had an amazing life.
You know, it's interesting because as Tom is going through this after his mother's passing, she saved everything, didn't she? I mean, boy, this is like going to a museum of standard pop music. I mean, this is great. I'm looking at that, and it's all it's amazing. It's worth the book for the pictures just to see what all she saved from her career.
She did. She saved everything. She was a very diligent lady. And Tommy said after she died, they found all sorts of things that he hadn't even realized were there. But she kept a copy of every contract she ever signed or anything she ever wrote, bits of music, etc. So, yeah, it's a real treasure trove, Rick, for sure.
You know, this is really an interesting book to read. And if you just approach it from here's the maybe one of the earliest liberated women out there working in what has been a man's world up to this point, Talk about that aspect of it, because she knew what she was doing and she did it really well, and in many cases better than the big boys were doing it.
Well, and Rick, that's very observant of you, because you're right. I think we're living in a time of female empowerment. But if you look back, Ruth Lowe was one of the first liberated females. She was working in Tin Pan Alley, which was virtually all male dominated. And she was a good looking lady, but she never let her appearance or her gender get in the way. She was there to write songs, and she wrote many songs on her own, and by that I mean the music and the lyrics, which put her with people like Cole Porter and Irving Berlin, because virtually all the other songwriters were duos. Rodgers and Hart, George and Ira Gershwin, Rodgers and Hammerstein, etc. So, she was very talented. And the other thing, I think, that makes the book really a good gift right now, if you like, is that we are living in some pretty stress-filled, anxious times with the pandemic.
Yes.
And here we have a story of somebody who showed great resilience to overcome the liabilities that happened to her in her life, her father dying, her husband dying. And she indeed did overcome that and did triumph. And it's a great story of resilience. It's a happy story.
Well, and it starts, as we mentioned, she's lost everything. Her husband has died. She's back living with her mother and her sister. And that's about as low as you get at that point in trying to restart your life. You're back living with family, trying to pull it together. And this song suddenly does that. Time is going by so quickly. Let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll have more time to chat. Our guest on the program is Peter Jennings. The book is called Until I Smile at You. Again, the website, untilismileatyou.com and peterjennings.me. We'll give you all of that later on in the program. Back more with Peter after these messages. We're back on This Week in America. Peter Jennings back with us on the program talking about his newest book, Until I Smile at You. Peter, it's interesting you got involved in this. I mentioned in the beginning, selected by the family. What you're talking in the book about 2015, you've got this fundraiser and you've got Tom, Ruth's son, that's there. Sort of, this was sort of the beginning of the book at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was putting together a fundraiser for a health unit in the village where I lived at that point. And we decided that we would focus on the 100th anniversary of the birth of Frank Sinatra. And so I had a lot of musicians and singers. I am a singer myself. And we all donated our time for an evening to get people to pay to come. And then all the money went to the health unit. And as I was putting this together, a friend of mine knew about it and said, "Oh, you should get Tom Sandler on there." I said, "Well, who's Tom Sandler?" "Well, he's Ruth Lowe's son." Well, you could have hit me with a 2-foot pole. I didn't even realize that she had kids. And so I got in touch with Tommy. He and I, he's called Tommy, by the way, because his mom named him after Tommy Dorsey,
yes,
which is pretty cool. I mean, guys like Rick and Peter, who we have named after, right? But he's named after Dorsey. And anyway, Tommy and I got together. We hit it off. We became friends. And I asked him to come and be part of this presentation that we were doing, because he talks about his mom, he reveres his mom, he's got a great slideshow. And then I asked him about a week before, and he's a singer himself, kind of sings folk songs and stuff. I said, "Tommy, would you sing your mom's song in the show?" He went, "Yeah, I've never done that." And I was surprised, but he, anyway, I got a piano player to play music to back him up. He stood up, he sang the song, and he got a standing ovation. People were in tears. It was very emotional. Well, later on that evening, as we were all getting together for a drink to celebrate our success, Tommy came up to me and said, "You know what? You're writing the book." I said, "Pardon me, I'm writing what book?" He said, "You're writing the book about my mom. I've always wanted to get a book written about mom. I've never been able to find the right place or the right person, rather." But he said, "You're a fine writer, you're a singer, you know her music, you know the music of that era, so you're writing the book, okay?" I mean, I said, "No." And indeed, Rick, it was an honor, it really was, to be able to write about Ruth Lowe.
Well, the book is so well done. It has that Peter Jennings stamp on it. Some critics have said it's like being at a dinner party with Peter and all of these guests talking about Ruth, and that's exactly it. It's Until I Smile at You. Peter Jennings is the author. Peter's website, peterjennings.me. The website for the book, Until I Smile at You, book available wherever books are sold. A time going by so quickly, and I want to talk about her life in the closing years of her career. I mean, she was on This Is Your Life on television with Ralph Edwards. I didn't realize that. We're going through the book. She's there. And she was what referred to as sort of the Toots Shore of Toronto with a nightclub. And I love what she did with the nightclub is too. She had a lot going on, didn't she?
She did indeed. Yeah. She eventually, I think she got tired of the whole celebrity thing going on in New York. I mean, she was, after all, a fairly small town girl, if you will. And so after 3 or 4 years in New York, she returned to Toronto. She was introduced to Matt Sandler, who was a money guy, and they got married and had two kids, Tommy and his older brother, Stephen. But she kept writing songs because she enjoyed doing that. But she also got involved in doing a lot of work around town to raise money for various causes and one thing and another. She had a very, very full life. She sadly died too early. I think she was 66 when she died in 1981. And that's too early for anyone to go. But she did have a very full life during the time she had on this earth.
I'm fascinated with that era, and I'm reading at the Club One, too, that she had. She paired, as I understand, Steve and Edie for the first time, and they would always perform her songs in their nightclub act.
Yeah, her husband, Nat, one day with a couple of cronies, they ended up buying a nightclub, the only nightclub in Toronto at the time. And they called it the Club 1-2. And they reopened this thing, and of course, Ruth had all sorts of contacts in New York. So she brought up all sorts of acts to appear at the Club 1-2. And yes, she introduced Steve and Evie. They came up and performed there together for the first time. And numerous other people. So she certainly kept her hand in with showbiz without kind of working out the Brill Building anymore. But as Tom will tell you, she would all of a sudden say to Tommy, "Hey, Tommy, We're going to New York. Forget about school. You can go to school anytime. We're going down to New York for a couple of days. We're going to see Duke Ellington." And they would go backstage and Duke would be, "Ruth, how are you? Duke, how are you?" And they'd go to Dempsey's and eat cheesecake. And he would, Tom would buy a new guitar or have a new guitar bought for him. So it was quite the life. But yes, the Club 1-2 was really something.
Great stories in the book. It's a trip down memory lane with all of the names. Wayne and Schuster, Canadian comedians. I used to look forward to them on the Ed Sullivan Show. She was instrumental in getting them out there and promoting them. And a funny story with them as well. The book is so well done and wish I had more time. So go buy the book and you'll get all the stories for yourself and you can read them at home. Until I Smile at You, How One Girl's Heartbreak Electrified Frank Sinatra's Fame. By Peter Jennings, contributions by Tom Sandler. The book's available at untilismileatyou.com. peterjennings.me is Peter's website. Peter, I got about 30 seconds left here at the end. You're working on another book, and that's good for us as readers and as me as a host because we can talk about the next one. What are you working on now?
Well, early in the new year, my next book, Pushing the Boundaries, will be coming out. I've interviewed 32 people from around the world who kind of think outside the box. But the one I'm working on right now, Rick, that you're referring to is called Icons, Growing Up in the Shadow of Greatness. And I'm interviewing sons and daughters of famous people. I spent a fascinating afternoon yesterday on the phone with Rod Roddenberry in Hawaii. Rod is the son of Gene Roddenberry. Oh, nice. You remember that name from Star Trek. So I'm interviewing people like that. It's going to be a fun book, I think.
Well, we've got a couple of shows lined up with Peter then. So you keep us posted when the books come out. We'll come back and do this again. This book, Until I Smiled at You, A One Girl's Heartbreak Electrified Frank Sinatra's Fame, A Fascinating Story of Ruth Lowe. The book's available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to the website, untilismileatyou.com, peterjennings.me, another website, and all that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Peter, it is always a pleasure. Stay well. We'll talk soon. Thank you for being back with us on the program.
Rick, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And yes, happy holidays, and look forward to chatting with you next year.
Same to you. Always a pleasure. Peter Jennings, our guest on the program, the book Until I Smiled at You. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.